According to our federal government, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, also known as CDC, they estimate that there are approximately 20 million, that's 20 million, new sexually transmitted disease infection each year, on top of existing numbers. Almost half of them among the young people age group of 15 to 24. The cost of STDs to U.S. healthcare system is estimated to be as much as $16 billion annually. Because many cases of STD goes undiagnosed, and some common viral infections, and such as human, probably I will butcher this pronunciation, papillomavirus, known as HPV, and genital herpes, are not reported to the CDC at all. The report cases of AIDS, chlamydia, and gonorrhea, and syphilis represent only a fraction of the true burden of STDs in the United States. Untreated STD, listen carefully, people. Untreated STD can lead to serious long-term health consequences, especially for the adolescent girls and young women. CDC estimate that the undiagnosed and untreated STD cause at least 24,000 women in the United States each year to become infertile. That means, young ladies, if you have STD, you may come to the point you may not have a children. And you may say, well, didn't they say you can have safe sex by using condoms? People get pregnant with a condom. Viruses are much smaller than the semen. That means they can penetrate condom without any problem. How about this idea? Abstinence is a better idea. So, our normal morality, chastity, and virginity and decency, forgotten word? Have we totally forgotten the fact that at the beginning, God made a very strict moral code to protect humans from the disease and death and ruin of the family and betrayal of the trust and destruction of the intimacy and ultimately collapse of the nation? Are we so blind and by the rationalization that we have blocked out our minds to the catastrophic death of society such as Sodom and Gomorrah, ancient Greece, and debauched Rome? More recently, 19th century, there were war between the British and old China, Qing Dynasty, known as Opium War. I mean, how many of you guys know that Opium Wars? There were several opium wars. British fight in Little Island fighting against China, that at that time it was the superpower country. They could not conquer this big, humongous country, so they used two arsenals. Number one, opium, heroin. You know that, right? And also they used sexually transmitted disease. They hired prostitutes with a sexually transmitted disease and cut them loose. So Chinese soldiers, either they got heroin addict or they could not move around because sexually transmitted disease. It affected so much that China could not overcome the defeat. From the superpower, their strength went down to the bottom level. This is one of the very good reasons why we should be sexually pure, as the Bible clearly states, whether you are married or not. There are only two types, right? Either married or not married. And you're thinking, wow, that's a Captain Obvious. Yes, I am. God's messages still speak to the forcefully and insightfully with reverence. If we only open our hearts and spiritual ears to listen, to obey, the Holy Spirit will speak to all of us through the Apostle Paul regarding this very important and personal subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, please. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And God both raised it up, the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Stop there, please. Verse 12, the phrase, all things are lawful for me. That is a common phrase in ancient Corinth. Our day's motto is, if you make you feel good, it must be right. Have you ever heard that? Or they say, if you must feel good, do it. What a horrible way to justify human bad idea and behaviors. One promiscuous U of A law school student was talking with me long ago. He said a human cannot control their sexual drive. I asked him, then what's the difference than a dog? Dog will have a sex on the street regardless of the surrounding. If the human cannot control themselves, what's the difference than the animal? Human can control themselves. That's why human is a superior to any animals. Listen to me, please. Freedom is a valuable and important, not because you are allowed to do anything you want, but more than that, you are free from something or someone who masters you, whether it is alcohol, drug, sex, or whatever. True freedom comes when you know that you are not bound by any of these worldly things or people. Corinthian Christians were using their liberty in Christ as a license to sin. License to sin. The Corinthian Christian logic is, if my body wants food, so I eat. My body wants sex, so I hire the temple prostitute. What's wrong with that? Not only them, but many modern-day Christians would argue, it seems that God made our body with a sexual drive. What's wrong with the satisfying it? Obviously, they are ignorant of the Bible. Because our lustful sexual appetite, it may seem that God didn't make our body for sexual immorality. But God did not make our bodies in that way. Sinful Adam caused the derailed original intention of God to sinful things. You understand? God's original intention is Adam and Eve following God's way in paradise. But they had to mess it up. We see the wisdom of God in design for the body and for sexual purity when we look at the problem of pregnancy and sexually transmitted disease. I've seen people, young ladies, who's been walking with God in the heat of passion, and they got involved with this man. And she got involved with this man, and she got pregnant. Then what? Oh, quick ideas. Get rid of the responsibility. Get rid of the baby. Really? Do you want to murder a child? Do you want to murder a child so that you don't have a responsibility? Is that what it is? There are price a person pay in the body for using the body in the way the Lord never intended. Body is not for sexual immorality, whether premarital, extramarital, homosexual, bisexual, incestuous. Young people, you get a pressure from your school friends, right? They say, everybody's doing it. Your mom tells you, right? If everybody jump up the cliff, will you jump up? We all heard that, right? Just because everybody's doing it, that doesn't mean it is right. Let me say it this way. Any dead fish will float down the stream, but it requires a live and determined fish to swim against the current. Paul wanted them to realize that when they did not use their freedom to serve God, they unwittingly enslaved themselves to sin. they sold their freedom dirt cheap. So he encouraged them to refuse to be mastered by anything and to hang on to the precious freedom Christ had won for them. Amen? Go down to verse 15, please. I know some of you might think that, why are you talking about sex in the church? It's in the Bible, isn't it? If we don't talk about this, they will talk about it somewhere else. Not good way. I guarantee you that. Verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are member of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them member of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Some of the Corinthians saw no harm by visiting temple prostitutes and committing fornication or adultery. There were 1,000 temple prostitutes available in that city. When an individual Christian commits sexual immorality, it disgraces the entire body of Christ, linking the body of Christ to the immorality, especially those who are in the leadership position of the ministry. Their thoughtless behavior have given great occasions to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme. When we have a sexual relations outside of marriage or before marriage, we form an immoral union that damages our holy alliance with God through Christ. In sexual relationship, husband and wife become one flesh in a way that is under God's blessing. Listen carefully. Under God's blessing, husband and wife have it, and they become one flesh. But in sex outside of marriage, partners become the one flesh in a way that is under God's curse. Somehow many people think that casual sex or one night stand is a thing to do before marriage. Have you ever heard of bachelor's party or bachelor party? And guess what is the common thing they do? Doing wrong things. Young people never get into that kind of garbage. In biblical understanding of sex, there is no such a thing as a casual sex. No one night stand. I know that some people are thinking, hey, preacher, I've never had a sex outside of marriage. But I just look at the porno magazines and watch porno movies. So let me put it this way. You're going to think that I'm hard-nosed to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Actresses nowadays seems like they don't have a problem doing the sex scenes and taking off their clothes. And they get paid, right? What do the prostitutes, what do the strip clubs, strippers do? Same thing. They get paid. Tell me what's different. And you may say, well, that's too harsh, don't you think? While you watch that kind of pornography in the magazine or in reality, or in the movies, in your mind, there is something else. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians and go to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Jesus speaking, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, Jesus speaking to us, I say to you that whoever looks at woman to lust for her, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Did you get that? Having a lust for someone in your heart is the same thing as committing adultery. Do you have any doubt for that, what Jesus said? Come on, speak back to me. And some of you say, okay, I don't look at the porno magazine or porno movies. I just will look at the R-rated movies. If that R-rated movie contains sex scenes, or nude sins, what's the difference? Let me ask you this question. I've said this several times. Would you watch that if the Jesus sitting next to you? Huh? Answer me back here. If you are born again Christian, you have a Holy Spirit within you. Am I correct? Then why would you watch that? Jesus, if the Jesus sitting next to you, you would not watch. But Holy Spirit within you, you're watching it? Doesn't make sense, does it? Verse 16, please. In verse 16, Apostle was quoting what the Lord God said to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2:24. Paul did not suggest that being joined to a harlot was equivalent to the marriage, because a marriage also involved commitment. A man and woman leave the parents' home to begin their own new home. This including, Bible says about that, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talk about harlot. This including casual sex or one night stand, whatever you want to call it, or living together. This helps us understand why sex within marriage can be an enriching experience of growth, because it is based on lifelong commitment. Can you say that with me? Lifelong commitment. Lifelong commitment. It's not until I fall out of love. When two people pledge their love and faithfulness to each other, and they lay a strong foundation on which to build. Marriage protects sex and enables the couple committed to each other to grow in this wonderful experience. For a short time, there may be the excitement and enjoyment in sexual experience outside marriage. As the proverb says, stolen water is sweet. But there is never enrichment. Sex apart from marriage has a way of weakening future relationship due to mistrust. As every Christian marriage counselor will tell you, the Apostle Paul does not tell us to be brave and resist the sexual lustful passion of sexual immorality. Rather, to flee from its presence in verse 18. Many people have fallen because they underestimate the power of the lustful passion and overestimate themselves, or thought that they could test themselves and see how much they could handle, like Samson did in the book of Judges. Remember the weakest strong man? He could slay 1,000 enemy soldiers, but against one woman, he melted like ice. We should follow the example of Joseph in Genesis 39, who fled from sexual immorality even when it cost him everything to do so. Paul, Apostle Paul, does not say that Corinthian Christians should... No, let me back. Paul does not say that all the Christians should flee from sex, period. No. God designed sex. Only sexual immorality. God gave us sex as a precious gift to the mankind and used it powerfully to bond the husband and wife together in one true one flesh relationship. But if you try the sexual immorality, it works against God's good purpose of sex and working against a true and godly one flesh relationship. Sex outside, I love the way Dr. Warren Wisby said this. Sex outside of marriage is like a man robbing a bank. He gets something, but it is not his, and he will one day pay for it with the consequences. Sex within marriage can be like a person depositing money into the bank. There's a safety, security, and he will collect dividends. Are you getting a picture so far? Go down to verse 19, please. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. On the Old Testament, temple was either tabernacle in the wilderness or great building in Jerusalem, where the priest representing people and they met God. Ever since the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God does not live in a temple. Under the new covenant, God lives in the hearts of his believers. We are so careful about cleaning and taking care of our outside body. As I look at you all, you look good. You smell good. You look like a Christian. You smell like a Christian. You talk like a Christian. That's wonderful. But how much do you take care of inside your body? Are you walking with Christ? Are you doing what the Holy Spirit says? Or do you do whatever you choose to do? Is there something you need to cleanse inside? When we give our lives to Christ, put our trust in Him, He comes in and cleans the house. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it must influence our sexual behavior. And if you commit sexual immorality as Christians, we are polluting God's temple. Think about this with me, please. God the Father created our bodies. God the Son redeemed them and made them a part of His body. And God the Spirit indwells our body and make them the very temple of God. How dare can we defile God's temple by using our bodies for immorality? All you in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul wrote about the church being the temple of the Holy Spirit, as the church, as the corporate. Now he is speaking to individual believers. Now, listen to me, please. Some people, some believers say that, well, since the body of the temple of the Holy Spirit, you should exercise well and regularly, and you should eat right food and drink right things. So they said, don't drink coffee. Probably some of the coffee drinkers will fight to death, right, for that. This is not about taking care of bodies with food or exercise. I'm not against exercise. I exercise. Food, this is not about it. If you try to squeeze this into that way, that interpretation, you're taking out of context. Are you with me on that? So don't listen to that kind of silliness. I don't know where you are in this. If you're involved in a sexual immorality previously or currently, and you have not repented from it, probably you're keeping it very secret. You're keeping it in secret. Guess what? God, who knows all things, knows every detail of it. Confess your sin. Stop it now. If it requires, if you've been sleeping with someone whom you are not married, stop it now, even if it costs a relationship. Do not be condemned, however, because condemnation does not come from God. Conviction comes from God. Conviction requires one thing. Repentance, true repentance. Confess your sin to Him who is full of grace, abounding in love, yet holy and righteous. Don't say, God is a God of love, so He will forgive me. Yes, He will forgive you. But if you don't repent and if you continue in your sin, your confession was a fake. Your so-called repentance is a fake. Are you with me on that? God only accepts a true repentance. If you truly repent of your sin, He will forgive your sins like He did to the woman who got caught in the very act of adultery, John chapter 8. What did He say? Go sin no more. Your restoration process can only start from the true repentance. It won't be easy because you broke your marriage vow or caused the mistrust from your spouse if you're married. If you're single, you walk away from any connection that led you to your spiritual fall at all cost. But the Lord will be there with you every step to give you strength if you only rely on Him. And you may say, well, I may not find the man or woman like that again. God will bring somebody who is better than that person. We had several occasions. I found that a couple living together. You know me, I beat around bush. I don't talk about anything like that. I don't confront, right? No, I did right away on the spot. Some people respond properly. I had the pleasure of marrying them, officiating their wedding, and doing wonderful. A couple left the church, and one person came back. And he's serving the Lord here, married. And then there are another person, another couple who said, how dare you to tell me that we cannot sleep together? And go on the bad mouthing about me. That brutal pastor kicked me out, kick us out of the church. It's your response. I'm speaking from the Word of God, your decision. Remember, whatever control you, whatever drives you to keep living each day, masters you. It is never too late to change your masters. The choice is entirely yours. Will it be? Whom you will serve? Everybody serves someone. Remember Bob Dylan said, you gotta serve somebody with a horrible voice? I don't know how he become popular. You gotta serve somebody. Two applications. Number one, we should serve God through our bodies and spirit, worship Him through obedience, and abstain from any form of sexual immorality. Don't follow yourself. Don't allow yourself to fall into temptation. Don't trust your own willpower, because your willpower is nothing in front of your lame excuse and your justification. Are you with me on that? If you want it so bad, you will come up with some justification. Submit to God, James 4:7 says. Resist the devil. And it's not just resisting devil. Walk away from that situation. That's active resistance. And he will flee from you. Devil will flee from you. Second application. Sex within the marriage is a beautiful river that brings life and refreshment. But sex outside marriage is a sewer that defiles everything it touches. Some people say, well, it's, you know, green is, grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Yes, it's greener because it's next to the cesspool. Folks, listen up carefully. Young people, come on, look at me. Young people, look at me. God will hunt you down. I'm asking God to hunt you down. When you come to that moment of temptation, will remind you what your preacher said. Understand me? It's your choice to say no to temptation. It's your choice to walk away from that temptation, even if it costs a relationship. Older people, you are not getting off the hook. Just because you are married, just because you've been married a long time, that doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want to do. This principle stays with you. Word of God is for everyone. Regardless generation, regardless culture. Either you follow God, you don't follow God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray.